Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday. Go check out Jones and Keith at Keith21, Twitter and Instagram for our NFL head coaching tiers. Mike Vrabel got his own tier. You can go check out the graphic there at Jones and Keith. While you're there,
yeah,
you can check out the new graphic for Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday. We have freshened it. It is a handsome picture of Tom E. Curran. Not that the old one wasn't, but it's a freshened up Tom E. Curran graphic there. Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday. How are we doing this week?
It's the beginning of a new era. It's tremendous.
That's true.
Yeah, it's kind of really like you got some scruff going on there. It's
the dawning of a new day.
Yeah, it's a good look there. It is a
take a look.
Go check it out. See if that's Curran approved, or if you got to go back to the drawing board on that one. But Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday from NBC Sports Boston. It is my contention, Tom, that this is a big week for Drake May coming off the turnover on Friday. He's got two joint practices against a good team, an interesting quarterback in J.J. McCarthy on the other side, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think you liked a lot in the draft class a year ago. Say it again?
He adores him.
I adore him.
Thank you. And then we got the preseason game this weekend. I just feel like it's a big week momentum-wise for Drake May to build some momentum going into the regular season. It's not the end-all be-all. It's a preseason joint practice, but that's my contention. Agree or disagree?
I agree in terms of building more consistency. See, I regard that fumble last week as moronic, embarrassing, yet easily preventable. It's not like a read went wrong and he didn't know what he was looking at. He did something really stupid. So it's egregious, but it's so stupid that you're like, well, he won't be doing that again. It's the other things that he's done, you know, the pick to Alex Austin the week prior when they had that in-stadium scrimmage when he should have realized, look, I have to protect the ball. Those bother me more. But I do think that this week, and given the way yesterday's practice closed where they ran 15 kind of high-stakes plays against the starting defense and struggled, might be a little bit of a preface to what they might encounter a little bit this week. I think Drake, understanding the fumble was moronic, but putting it aside because he's had a very good camp, could be in for a tough week because of Brian Flores' defense, and I just didn't like the way that they worked yesterday. I think that they seemed a little spent after the week with Washington and the good vibes that followed. So I'm hoping there's not a little bit of a lag here.
How are you feeling about Will Campbell so far?
Good. Again, you know, the mistake with he and Wilson that led to Drake May's hammerheaded decision wasn't really on Campbell. It was on the communication and certainly on Wilson. I thought Campbell, he's not getting beat routinely. I think he is physically able to do all the things at certainly an NFL starter level. So I have no misgivings about whether or not he should have been, about whether or not they should have taken a left tackle there. They needed a left tackle. They got a left tackle. At least that's solved. Is he the end-all, be-all? No. Is he more than serviceable to the point of good? Yes.
Let's circle back to something you said about a hangover or a lag, I think is the word you used, from the Washington week. Why do you think maybe some of that was experienced yesterday? Is that just feeling good about a strong performance against a team that didn't play a lot of guys? Is there a physical toll to it? Like, why do you think
Just flat. And again, I think they were just flat. You know, they had a walkthrough practice after having had Saturday off and Sunday back a little bit. And then they had a walkthrough practice mostly yesterday. And then at the end, Vrabel called them up and they turned the music blaringly loud. Throughout the practice, both teams seemed to be preparing to, both sides, offense and defense, seemed to be preparing to get exotic and confusing, which Brian Flores' Minnesota defense is. And McDaniels alluded before the practice, we have to understand our keys, know our keys, know before the snap what we're going to do. And then they ran 15 snaps. Phil had Drake at 4-for-10 with 3 sacks. And there were a number of breakdowns, a number of pressures. So they just looked really sloppy. They had the play clock run out, and Vrabel kind of lost his mind. Threw his towel, walked over to one play clock, demonstratively pointed at it, walked down to the other end, pointed at that play clock, and just was basically saying, get your heads out of your collective asses now.
Are you getting the sense that Josh McDaniels' offense, which we have talked about over the last several years, about how it can be complicated and not everybody can pick it up right away, is that getting in the way for, you know, some of the, whether it's delay of games or some of the issues you think they're having on offense?
No, I don't. I really think it was a flat practice, and the things that they were seeing based upon the Flores defense and the exotic stuff was making it difficult. I think that they're going to have mastered at least, you know, the foundation, and the sill at the bottom of the foundation is pretty solid. They know what they're supposed to do. It's when they're confronted with things that they haven't seen before. Because when we think about it, and you know, one of the bad plays yesterday was a throw behind Travion Henderson, who was just turned upfield, and it looked like he was a hot read, should have gone into the flat, May threw it behind him, almost skipped it off his heels. You have a rookie left tackle, a rookie left guard, a back, I'm calling him a third down back at the moment, but much more quite possibly, who's a rookie in Henderson, and still a wet behind the ears quarterback. They're going to have some days where they're like, I was not ready for that. And if three of them were and one of them wasn't, the play's still going to look bad. So these are going to be kind of the growing pains I think we'll be seeing.
Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday from NBC Sports Boston. You can check out his work at Tommy Curran on Twitter. You just mentioned Travion Henderson. I was going to ask about this, and maybe you just answered it to a degree. What do you expect his involvement to be this year? Because I honestly was a little surprised at how involved he was with May and the starters on Friday night. He obviously looked great going right back to the opening kick. How involved do you think he's going to be?
I think he's going to be very involved because you can put a lot on him. He's not, you know, a third-round pick that hasn't really shown anything or played at a high level that they don't know he can perform at. He was the best running back in college, in high school football, the number one recruit at his position going into Ohio State. Injuries limited him from perhaps realizing that potential, ends up a second-round pick, but he's probably their most dynamic overall player on offense when you combine power, speed, quickness, agility, and play style. So you have to put more on him than you would put on Shane Vereen, for instance, or Danny Woodhead, or James White in his rookie year out of Wisconsin. And I use those guys as examples because McDaniels kind of unprompted mentioned them yesterday as, you know, comps for his role. But I think he can be between the tackles runner, too. Vereen wasn't. James White wasn't. Woodhead could be. So he could. He's certainly going to be in that type of role, but it could be even more than that.
You know, the first couple of days of camp, we were talking a lot about Steph Diggs, and it seemed like he passed the test of, like, you know, he physically looked good. He was out there and available, and he was making plays. Drake May was throwing to him a lot. And, you know, our biggest takeaway, really, or my biggest takeaway was, wow, Diggs looks pretty good, and he's involved a lot. Since then, it's been pretty quiet, and I know he didn't play in the game, and that's fine. He wasn't the only veteran player not to play in the game, but I don't know. Have you changed your expectations for the season at all based on the last, say, 8 to 10 days of camp with Diggs?
No, not really, because when they played in the in-stadium scrimmage, which was a week ago from Friday, not a million practices ago, even though it's about 10 days, he was very involved. He looked very good. He did have a ball go off shoulder, which kind of negates the point I'm making and turn into a pick, but he's moving well. We know he can catch the football. He did have a drop, again, negating my point. he did have a drop on the goal line to end the practice on Sunday, just by himself, thrown to his hands, and it falls off his hands. But take all that for what you will.
Put all the bad plays aside. He's doing great.
Besides that, though, I love it.
Yeah, I guess I've done that the entire phone call. Everything's great. Ignore that. You know, looming storm.
Got it. All right.
Okay. Who do you think makes the team in the receiver room? Diggs is going to be on there. Keefe and I are in a bit of a disagreement about EC3, Efton Chisholm. Who do you think makes the team out of the receiver room?
I think that Hollins, Diggs, Douglas, Williams, I'm missing somebody.
Booty.
Out of that group.
Booty
is definite. And then it gets down to to me, it gets down to Baker and Chisholm, and I would say Baker more likely than Chisholm because I think Chisholm can be passed through to the practice squad. Is it a risk? Absolutely. But whoever takes him at the end of August to go on their team, on their roster, has to put him on, you know, he has to play for them. He's not going on anybody else's practice squad. When you sign a guy off the practice squad, or he, you know, you have to put him on your team. So, and I might be mistaken. You know, you have to go on the team. You have to go on the team. You can't get picked. You might have a choice to go to practice squad or not practice squad. But to me, I would say it's more reasonable to take the risk. I've compared him, and he's compared himself, at least in what he's watched, to Danny Amendola. It took Danny Amendola a couple of years as a guy out of Texas Tech to catch on, and I think it could be the same with Chisholm. I just don't know that, you know, you have the luxury of keeping a depth slot guy right now on your team.
You know, two of the veteran guys we've talked a lot about throughout camp, Ramondre Stevenson and Kyle Duggar. I thought Stevenson looked pretty good and was running hard in the preseason game. Which one's on firmer footing, I guess, as we get closer and closer to, you know, the start of the regular season?
Can you say the beginning of that again? I started reading a text from my boss, which was rude, stupid, and inconsiderate.
No, listen, it's your boss, Tom. Sometimes you gotta pay attention to that kind of thing. You know, more important than talking to us, I would imagine. But no, I was just saying, Ramondre Stevenson and Kyle Duggar, we've talked a lot about them, whether they're a lock for the team to start, whether they have different roles, whether they get cut, traded, whatever else it might be. I thought Ramondre looked good in the preseason game. I'm curious how you feel about both of those guys now.
I think Stevenson's in a great spot. They just don't have enough running backs, especially with Lane Larison going on IR. He'll be gone for the year. So they, not like he was going to be a big fixture, but at least he was depth. So they need all three. They're shallow in the running back room, and he's a guy who can, you know, play at a high level if he does not drop it, and he gets a little bit of a sliver. So you have three hard running backs. I think he's fine. The Duggar thing is very confounding to me, and I was one of the first folks to point out not just the size of the contract, but the fact that he had to make some hay and show something to this new coaching staff. And he's just been very quiet during all the training camp practices. It's just hard to look at a play and say, oh yeah, Duggar made a nice play on that. And as a result, I think he's being passed over a little bit by Jalen Hawkins, who was a pretty good player last year and keeps showing up in camp. So Duggar, I know, has been working with the twos the last 2 days. It's probably a big week for him in Minnesota. He would be a guy that, you know, they don't have to – they can accept some dead money against the cap if they released him, and there would be dead money even if they traded him. But when you get traded, your salary goes with you to your new team. What team is going to want to take a player from a team that was one of the worst in football last year? I say the same thing about the Chisholm situation. Our team's going to look at the Patriots' refuse as something that they definitely need to have. So I think Duggar needs a big couple of weeks because it's been very quiet and there are signals that he's falling completely out of favor, which again goes back, guys, not to be too long-winded, but I'll be long-winded. It's the same thing that we saw with Cardona or Andrews or Godshaw or Wise or Jonathan Jones, guys who you thought were staples and the type of guys you'd want to keep around who are being kind of shunted out.
Okay, why is that? I mean, is that just you want to move on from the past Bill guys and Mayo guys, or was there an issue with the player leadership a year ago? Why is Vrabel seemingly making a concerted effort to move on from those guys?
I don't think there was player leadership issues with those guys. I just don't think, honestly, perhaps that they're very good. I don't think that you're going to walk in as the new guy and say, we can't do better than this person. I think that might be the crux of the issue more than anything else. You know, with Andrews, he was hurt last year. He's had the injury history, or at least the illness history. And did the Patriots say, well, we can probably do better. He's an unbelievable person. We love him. Everything about David Andrews, what we're looking for in a player, but we have to try and get better. We're going to do that. So I think that is generally what my feeling is. Look, we're going to go out here and try and get better. Do we need Jonathan Jones on the corner, who's a great person? Or could we do better with Alex Austin, who's a little taller, and perhaps who's the other dude? DJ James. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marcus Jones can do the things that Jonathan Jones does. So I think the crux of the issue is, like I said, they were a bad team, and those were just guys who were the leaders on a bad team. Not bad guys, not bad leaders, just not top flight players who couldn't be replaced.
One more quick one, Tom, before we let you go. We're not going to talk to you again before the game on Saturday. How much do you think May will play? Like a half?
That would be hard. I said two series last week when I talked to you guys, and that's what it ended up being. But I would say a quarter and a half, maybe. It depends how much work they get done. That's the interesting thing. This week they have two joint practices. You can orchestrate and get as many reps for your ones as you want to if you're Vrabel and Kevin O'Connell. So, you know, would they, you know, treat those as their more marquee events and then make us sit there on Saturday afternoon and watch a game of, you know, guys who aren't going to make the team? That's possible. So I have a harder time spitballing it until we get later in the week and see how much the ones went against each other on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. He's Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday at high noon. Tom E. Tuesday. Check him out, NBC Sports Boston. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons and at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, thank you.
Tom E. Curran joining us here on Jones and Keith. Some interesting stuff there. It's a good point about the joint practices.
Yeah, they can get a lot out of that.
He's with you on Baker over Chisholm.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even know. I think they might just keep five.
Right, but if you're...
I think
in
Chisholm's
the case they were going to keep six, don't even have Chisholm on there.
Right.
And he thinks Duggar has no market. Interesting.
I would agree with that.
No market for Kyle Duggar.
That's why I would just keep him. Unless you think he's going to be a real problem, I would just keep the guy.
I'm not in favor of just cutting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he can just rot on the bench for all I care and at least see some depth. If you think you can get something for him, get something for him. If other guys have passed him by, but Curran doesn't make it sound like there's much of a market there.
I also don't really know, like, are we sure that, like, Woodson and Hawkins deserve more playing time?
No,
not you, but I'm saying, like, in general, like, I don't
It seems like the coaching staff feels that way. I have no idea. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number, not to be confused with Curran's phone number. He's getting texts.
Yes, yeah,
boss.
Text him mid sheets. A good answer, Tom. Good answer.
Hopefully everything's good there.
Yeah, I know.
Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. Let's circle back to Drake May. Curran just told you how much he expects him to play. I think it's a massive week for Drake May. We'll get to that right after the update. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Drake May yesterday, part of Patriots Monday. He was on with WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of that, Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can use the rewind feature to listen to the Drake May interview, the Mike Vrabel interview with the Greg Hill Show, our interview, our first interview, talking to Christian Ellis on Monday.
First of many this season.
Go check that out. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Real quick, before we get into May and the week facing him, Curran said something I thought interesting there when we talked to him earlier this hour. It was, as boneheaded as the turnover was, it's also easily correctable for May. Do you agree with that? Because the fumbles have been maybe an underplayed issue. You brought them up earlier this week, maybe even late last week. The turnovers we kind of put under a blanket, and I think a lot of people look to the interceptions. I mean, the fumbles were a big thing with him a year ago.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I'm trying to think back to some of the fumbles and if they were in that same manner where it was literally like there's really no win here. Like, you're not probably going to complete it. I don't know what you're trying to do. Like, just tuck it away.
Well, and the way Vrabel said it yesterday on the Greg Hill Show is he's like, well, you can't always try to make, like, superhero plays every time you're out there.
Yeah.
You got to sometimes just live to play another day. I would say more of that than just, like, fumbling in that exact same manner, probably not, but there's a bunch of plays, and I think this is common with young quarterbacks. Some move on from it and get better. Some never get away from it, where they try to just do everything all at once and make a play, and they try to do too much, and it winds up being a turnover, in this case, a brainless one,
yeah.
And it comes back to bite them. I wonder how easily correctable that is for May specifically, because he had a lot of turnovers last
year. It comes down to the player, but I also wonder, like, the coaching aspect of it, because after a bad fumble, every single NFL team, right, a bad fumble by a quarterback, I assume the head coach and the offensive coordinator will say something to him,
yeah,
and then, like, we'll kind of approach it going forward. But Mayo and Van Pelt maybe went about it one way, and now maybe Vrabel and McDaniels go about it another way. And so will it break through? Or there's also something about just being an older player. I'm sure there are quarterbacks in the league that would say, oh, my first and second year, I would try to do this. I mean, we've seen it firsthand watching Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson play.
Yep.
Those guys play the position differently now than they did when they first came into the league.
It's true.
And so maybe, you know, Drake May fumbling the way that he did, even though it was a preseason game, it's still a televised event. You're still in front of thousands of people versus fumbling a practice.
It was his first series. Offseason, we're like, this is a different guy. In the first series we see him, he has a boneheaded turnover.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe this can be a learning experience because it was happening. It did happen in a game setting. Vrabel and McDaniels now can pop up the video during practice and or tape session and be like, what is this? Like, talk about that. And I don't know. Hopefully he does break through a little bit, right? He's not going to have a full season with no turnovers, but you're like, one like that shouldn't happen.
Correct.
Yeah, that's it.
The one we saw at joint practice is somewhat excusable. You're trying to force a ball into a tight window. It gets deflected by a linebacker up into a D-back's hand.
Yeah.
Fine. That one can't happen. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I think there's a lot of reasons why this is a big week for Drake May. Number one, that turnover we were just discussing. Number two, the poor practices that have come afterwards. Curran called it a lag yesterday.
Yeah.
Where Vrabel kind of tested them and they failed.
Like a delay a game and like below 50% completion.
So that's May. And then it sounds like specifically the rookie offensive linemen, Campbell and Jared Wilson, were getting fooled by the exact same thing the Commanders fooled them on Friday night. So that's disheartening. Now you have two joint practices against Brian Flores. I heard Curran and Perry talking about this on their Pats Talk podcast, NBC Sports Boston. Curran just said the same thing to us as well. Flores is not going to go vanilla through two joint practices and a preseason game. He's going to throw some curveballs at Drake May. And when Drake May has been throwing a curveball, case in point, yesterday's practice, they handle it very well.
Yeah.
So he's got the preseason game this weekend. It'll be head-to-head against a good defense and a good team. With J.J. McCarthy on the other side, I think that's an interesting backdrop on top of it. I think it's a huge week for Drake May. And it doesn't mean if he has a bad week, he can't recover and have a good season. But it does mean for our tastes, Keith, and like our feeling from the outside looking in, media members, fans, etc., it's our last real look at Drake May. And if you want to feel good about him and have him build some momentum going into the regular season, this is the last chance to do it. The joint practices, the preseason game, where Curran thinks he'll play a quarter and a half, maybe a full half. I think it's a huge week for him to come through, and I hope he does because I want to feel good about the offense going into week one.
Yeah, and I wonder, can you get more out of this week? Washington obviously had no interest in the preseason game itself. Like, they sat 30 of their guys. Practices, you know, Vrabel pointed out they didn't want to do two. They didn't want to do one-on-ones, but they did do a lot of drills against them. Like, we did see Jaden Daniels. We did see Marshawn Lattimore. We did see, like, first-teamers on both sides. So that was, I still think, a productive day. But now you get 2 days with the Vikings and a game, which is the second game for both teams, which you would just think, anecdotally, they'll be playing more. We saw J.J. McCarthy in the game. We saw Jordan Addison, who was suspended for the regular season, but he can play in the preseason. So that's a guy that, you know, if D.J. James lines up against Jordan Addison, like, there's something you can get from that. I don't know how many of the first-team guys on defense are going to play for the Vikings, but I would assume a decent amount.
I think we're
should
gonna,
be a good test for Drake
I think
May.
We're going to get. Oh, I'm sorry, for the Vikings.
I mean,
I would imagine a lot of the guys play. I was even going to say this might be a week for certainly Carlton Davis, maybe Morgan Moses. TBD on Diggs.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd expect
maybe
most
Barmore back.
I'd expect most guys on both sides to play and play somewhat extensively in a game. You're not going to put a guy out there who's hurt, like Gonzalez won't play,
right?
But this is everybody's last. The Giants game is going to be a throwaway. The final preseason game. That's going to be a woolly mammoth city in that game.
And a lot of woolly.
All the scrubs in that one.
They may even add a guy just for fun.
I guess maybe Kyle Duggar will play that whole game based on the way he's going. But no, this is. I'd imagine he gets a lot of a first team defense. And what I do like about the preseason and the setup, Keith, it's all second year quarterbacks. It was Daniels last week. It's McCarthy this week. It was an NFC title game participant in the Commanders last year, 12 win team. This week, it's a 14 win. It's good teams.
Yeah.
It's interesting quarterbacks on the other side. They're good measuring sticks for Drake May. And so, yeah, I think this is a massive week for him, given how much he's going to play. It's double the joint practices. It should be double the reps in the game.
And so, let the record show now, before we start getting results from these practices, that if they do really well, we can get excited. And if they don't, we can be like, what's going on?
Bingo.
Right? That's how you got to do it. That's how we've been doing it throughout camp the whole time. The highs will celebrate, but the lows will also point out this is what we've been given to this point. And obviously they do the joint practice for a reason. The coaches feel like they can get a lot out of it. So you can't just have a couple of bad practices. And by the way, they did not at all have a bad practice against the Commanders. We're sort of highlighting some of the other moments here and there, and like these most recent practices. We weren't even there for it, but Kern kind of broke it down. There were clearly a lot of frustrations with the offense.
We haven't been there the last 2 days,
right?
And that was Sunday and Monday, Sunday and yesterday rather. But I haven't seen any good reports for the offense the last couple of days.
No.
And that coincides with the May turnover on Friday. So, yeah, I think you want to see that turn around, and you want to see them trending upwards. I feel like it started great. It was a little bit of a downward trend. They had a very good joint practice against Washington, except May had
ended
a late turnover.
A pick,
They smoked Washington on Friday, but May had a bad turnover.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just like to see it trend back up going into the regular season. And, again, that's really just for, my comfort level with the team week one and my comfort level with the direction of the offense. You can have a bad preseason and turn around and have a good preseason. Mm-hmm. Same is true in the opposite direction. You can have a brutal or a great preseason and turn around and have a brutal regular season. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all, but I am going to put some stock in what we see these next couple of days. I think it's a huge week for Drake May. You can discuss it. 617-779-7937. Also, our text line. People are wondering if we're overrating Drake May.
I don't think so.
They say I'm 100% guilty in this. I'm just curious. Well, I think we in New England might be. I think he's properly rated, or at least nationally, people are much lower on May. You made this point a bunch, Keith, but the latest example is that Mike Sando athletic quarterback tiers. I think he was 22nd.
So I'd probably have him higher than that, but I don't think you can have him much higher.
Okay, well, we all would have him higher than 22, which means we're probably overrating him.
But would
bit,
you
right?
have him higher than 16, for example?
No.
Yeah, okay. So we're not going crazy. Like, if you don't think he's in the top half, I think anybody that thinks he's in the top half.
I think we're closer to overrating him than underrating him, I guess would be my point.
Yeah. Are you saying he's properly rated?
No, I think we in New England are probably overrating him a bit. I expect big things. I said earlier today, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Someone asked this. If J.J. McCarthy wins more games than May, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if May has worse numbers than McCarthy. I know you disagree
with
that.
I think because of the offenses that they're in. I don't think they're going to ask Drake May to do, Sam Darnold threw 35 touchdowns. I don't think Drake May throws 35.
No.
I don't think J.J. McCarthy throws 35 either, but I could see McCarthy throwing 28 and Drake May throwing 22, and then at the end of the season, you're like, well, this guy ranks, 8th in the league, and this guy ranks 15th in the league, something like that. I think they both could be playoff teams, though. Like, I think the Vikings certainly should be back in the playoffs. They won 14 games a year ago. And then the Patriots, if I'm going to stick with my 10 wins, which I still am, that feels like a playoff team, too. Do you think Drake May is a better, ranks higher amongst quarterbacks or Mike Vrabel amongst head coaches? Because we just did the tiers for coaches. And
it's interesting you asked that. Let me give you an example. Over the next 3 years, but ESPN came out with future projections.
Oh, here we go.
So this is for the next 3 years. They had Drake May as the 7th quarterback on their rankings. Over the next 3 years. Thank you. I should have seen that coming. They had Mike Vrabel 18th. Now, again, that's not just about this year. There's projection involved in that. They had Vrabel 18. They had May 7th. I guess based on our tiers, Keith.
Yeah.
I was just looking at our quarterback tiers from months ago, and we did our quarterback tiers today.
I think Vrabel's higher.
We had Vrabel a little higher, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he has more of a track record, obviously. And, they're very much tied together, too. Like, if Vrabel is going to move up, Drake May better be pretty good, and kind of vice versa, So they're obviously very tied together, but I think Vrabel right now, there are more head coaches or fewer head coaches I would take for this season than quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, when you start doing the 3 year thing, that's completely different because now some of these older quarterbacks I wouldn't take because I'm banking on a 22 year old.
No,
versus
that's fair.
A 30 year old.
For this year, my answer probably should be Vrabel. Should be the right answer. Projecting forward, maybe it's a little different. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Let's circle back to the ESPN future power rankings, Mike Vrabel, and the impact he's making on this team. But it's Tuesday at 12:45, which means it's time for the madness, Kiefer Madness.
Girl, they would have been taking me to the king.
She came to this Mexican restaurant for a margarita, and instead she left with a side of snake.
Yep, those are four horses inside the Baker Walmart.
Sometime between 11 and 12, it rained meat for a period of about 2 minutes.
Here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We go down to Florida for this story, Jones. That's right, a Florida story. Something's going on with the business. Might have a little bit of a rivalry going on. Let's find out what's going on.
Forgive. That is what a Lake Wales business owner says he is willing to do. Now that a suspect has been caught months after firing into his store with a gun and trying to burn it down with Molotov cocktails.
Okay, so you thought a gun was pretty aggressive. Turns out that was only half the story.
Wild. I feel like growing up watching movies, there were two things. And I know a lot of people have made, there's like a whole bit about quicksand. There's a whole bit about quicksand. Which comedian does it? He's like, yeah, everybody, you thought there was quicksand everywhere based on like movies and TV shows. A close second for me would have been the Molotov cocktail.
Oh.
It seems like movies and TV, it was like, we need to cause some destruction, get a bottle of booze and a rag, and then light that sucker up and fire it in there. Yeah. Everything was Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
And then you start playing Grand Theft Auto as a kid, and you're like, let's give me some of these Molotov. You're like firing Molotov cocktails every which way.
That was your move?
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
I go rogue a lot in that game.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I just kind of go rogue.
Yeah.
And you just try to just elude the cops.
Throw somebody out of the car and then blast some Toto. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
Hold the line.
I just listen to the radio. I drive.
I would speed limit.
Just drive
stop
around.
Stop at all the red lights.
Yeah, I follow I stop at all the red lights. Yeah. I wave to all the people, and I just listen to the radio.
Crank, hold the line.
Can't wait.
Yeah, great one. Yeah.
Next one next year, Nick, finally.
Allegedly?
I think they've already delayed it once.
They have delayed it several times.
All right, well, hopefully.
And it might also cost like $100.
Hopefully there's Molotov cocktails in it.
There better be.
Yeah.
They're probably fine-tuning them right now. That's why the game's taking so long. But anyway, this story involves a Molotov cocktail.
Fox 13's Carla Byron learned from police that the suspect has close ties to a competing insurance company.
Here we go. Feud. Not inside job, Jones, but it's in that family.
It's in the vein.
Like.
Yeah.
It's been a relief to us.
Univista Insurance franchise owner Herman Portillo received the news he had been waiting for since late March. The alleged suspect who threw a Molotov cocktail into his business, fired gunshots, and spray-painted Civil War Trump across the front windows was arrested.
What did he spray paint? Civil War Trump?
Civil War something Trump?
Civil War
skip?
Trump. It skipped, but it wasn't like a bleep or anything. It was like, I guess that's what it was.
Ah.
So gunshots, like, this isn't working. Give me that Molotov cocktail. Fire that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
It's sad knowing the connection of who did it.
Lake Wales police traced the Toyota Prius involved in the crime back to a company in Sarasota.
That checks out.
Prius.
Based on the spray paint.
They'll sneak up on you, though. You ever been in a parking lot with a Prius? Can't hear them.
That's true.
I was going to run over by one the other day.
Absolutely sneak up
Didn't hear
you.
It at all.
Yeah,
and they were
like,
we're very quiet under 30. And I was like, I guess so.
Couldn't hear a thing. Just creeping right through.
That employed Jason Roberts, who didn't show up to work that day and who resigned days later.
Fishy.
That is, you gotta.
So you got him in the town.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good point.
You need to give yourself an
alibi.
Keep
doing what you're doing.
Yeah, don't show up to work. Red flags everywhere.
Red flag city.
Show
right
up
there,
to work.
Guy. Yeah.
Police say Roberts was arrested in Georgia, and he's the brother of the co-owner of a competing insurance company just next door.
Okay. You gotta.
There's a lot of characters here. I need a family tree.
You gotta hire that out.
Yeah.
You gotta hire.
Like, well, my brother could do it. Like, we need to, like, destroy our competition. My brother, he's free.
You got to go a step farther than the brother of the competing insurance company.
Do what everybody else does.
Molotov cocktails.
Go on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Just be like, we need a guy for a job.
Yeah.
Somebody will apply.
Craigslist.
Yeah.
Dark web.
My brother could do it.
Street corner. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, not just, hey, bro. Could you not show up to work one day? I need you to huck some Molotov cocktails in my computer.
If you were like a criminal,
yes.
Would you put Molotov cocktail on skills
that's
on
like
your resume?
Yeah.
Your skills?
I think you just put it at the bottom like Microsoft Office.
Right. Oh, yeah. You just hope they don't ask.
Yeah.
It says you can hotwire a car.
Yeah. Sure can. I can throw a Molotov cocktail. I mean, I have it.
Go ahead.
But I got like a working knowledge of how
Let
it would
Let me see
work.
You construct a Molotov cocktail right now.
I can do it.
Yeah. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste this booze. They're like, all right, you can't do it. Yeah.
The sister told us during an interview that she did talk with her father about being upset that Univista had moved in next door.
Sure.
Was it going to affect her finances of running the business? Okay. Since Jason Roberts wouldn't talk to us about his motive, it's our assumption that he saw his sister upset and decided to retaliate.
Detectives say it doesn't appear the co-owner of the competing business and the sister of the suspect knew he was going to carry out this crime.
I had no idea.
Lone Wolf.
Lone Wolf theory. Yeah, he actually went from inside job to Lone Wolf theory.
Yeah.
This guy went rogue. Well, you know what's such a the most rogue weapon would be the Molotov cocktail.
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not really controllable, first of all.
It fits.
Like the person involved.
It fits perfectly.
Wasn't this an Always Sunny episode when they burned down the bar next door?
It feels like it.
Well, they Molotov cocktailed Jack Bauer the cat in one episode.
That was right.
Because he grew up in a junkyard.
Yeah.
He, born in a pile of gasoline or something like that. And that was a Molotov cocktail for sure on Always Sunny.
Did they do
that with the competing bar? I don't recall.
Early season.
Yeah,
that feels right. Burn the bar down next door.
Right. This also reminds me of a Java Joe situation in Curb Enthusiasm.
Yep, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Since the incident, Portillo says his business has taken a financial hit.
Oh.
His customers have been scared to stop by, and he hasn't been able to replace his decal to attract more customers.
Hang on.
Can't fix the sign.
Now let's... There's a lot of stuff you can't control there. Fixing your decal feels like
I think you can fix the decal.
That one's on you there, guy.
It's a write-off.
Yeah,
just write it off.
Wade's waiting for next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
My human mind is telling me to do something.
Hold on. What do you say?
You think he's AI now?
I don't. Well, I'm a little concerned.
When
now.
You refer to it as a human mind, it makes me question whether or not maybe your part robot.
I don't want a victim shame.
Yeah, okay.
But you say things like...
It's telling me to do...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on. Yeah, get the whole thing?
Look at the whole thing.
My human mind is telling me to do something.
Though, as a pastor in his community, he's passing along a message of forgiveness.
Oh.
Pastor is passing along.
It's Christian Ellis approved.
He could be. I think he would enjoy this part
good.
Of it.
Okay,
My human mind is telling me to do something.
Though, as a pastor in his community, he's passing along a message of forgiveness.
My heart is telling me to forgive, to hug, and to pray with them.
Wants to hug him?
Yeah.
That's the last thing I would want to do. Somebody Molotov cocktailed my business. I wouldn't give the guy a hug.
You turn the other cheek, Keith, is what you do.
I wouldn't.
You turn your human cheek.
No.
Is what you do.
I'd get my own Molotov cocktail.
He did call it a heart. He didn't call it a human heart.
Yeah.
That's what a robot would do. So I don't quite know how to read this guy.
It's confusing.
Now. Yeah.
Very confusing.
That's what my heart is telling me. The love of Christ to the people that harm you.
In Lake Wales, Carla Byron, Fox 13 News.
Well, Portillo says the plaza's property manager may move his business a few doors down. Robert.
That'll do it. Guys, don't worry. It's a different business altogether. This isn't the one that got Molotov cocktails.
That's why he doesn't want to replace the decal. He's moving. He's looking at new.
He's picking up
new real estate options.
Moving down
waste the decal on the old place.
Robert is facing several charges, including possession of firebombs, arson, and shooting into a dwelling.
We are dealing with amateurs.
A dwelling?
Yeah.
That's the law, huh?
What was it? Firebombs?
Yeah, shooting into a dwelling.
Yeah, I feel like a good lawyer could get you out of that. It was a Molotov cocktail. It wasn't a firebomb.
It wasn't a firebomb at all.
It was very different. Yeah.
Robert is facing several charges, including possession of firebombs, arson, and shooting into a dwelling.
Arson, you're not going to get out.
The spokesperson for the Lake Wales Police Department added the suspect didn't speak to detectives and hired an attorney.
Oh.
Smart. This guy knows
Real
the law.
Smart.
This guy knows his rights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fifth.
Guilty.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, fifth.
Talk to my lawyer.
Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah.
Lawyer. I've seen enough shows to know that there are a lot of Molotov cocktails, and you don't say a word unless you have your attorney present.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Don't fall for any of that good cop, bad stuff.
No. Don't say a word. They can use all that.
Yeah.
And they will use all that.
They absolutely
I've seen enough documentaries, all right?
I plead the fifth.
Sure.
Tell you that. It's a guy who knew. It's a man who knew his rights right
there. You're not on trial, sir.
Fifth.
Yeah. It's not. That doesn't mean anything right now. Fifth.
Okay. Well, that might be.
So somebody is going on the text line inside job. They're like, this is all like a red herring.
Yeah, you're right.
Inside job.
Look at this. Absolutely an inside job.
Right.
He wants the insurance money for a new place.
Right in front of our noses.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, I should have. That's why he's so willing to turn the cheek.
Right.
My human mind is telling me to do something.
Okay.
Damn it. It is an inside job. It's always an inside job.
It actually
Why did I go away from my instinct?
Well, because I think you have a new the lone wolf theory I also enjoy, but I think inside job greater than lone wolf.
Yeah, it's an inside. It was an scenario. Inside job. It was right there.
Man.
Okay. That's going to be one worth following, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's...
You got that right.
Sometimes we have an update to the Kiefer Madden Eye story.
Uh-huh.
I'd say this is a good candidate for that. Perhaps even by Thursday. You never know. So there you go. It's the Madness every Tuesday, 12:45 here on Jones and Keith. Let's get back to Mike Vrabel, the impact he's making. I mentioned the ESPN future rankings as well. We'll give you the full rankings for the Pats on that one coming up next.